Hello and welcome to That Sports Gamer Show, episode number 59 for Tuesday, June 18th. As always, I'm your host, TJ Lauerman, and alongside me is my good buddy, Rich Grisham.
Hello, hello.
Hey, Rich. As you can tell, Scott's not here.
He's on assignment.
Yeah.
He's a busy man.
Doing his regular workload. And,
that's right.
There's an outside chance he'll hop on later. But you've been quite busy recently.
Yeah,
I almost owned the Bane voice when I said that. So, Rich, how was E3?
It was a loud mess. I know now the totally proper way to do E3. You ready? This is how you do it.
Sure.
Number one, you get a media badge. Number two, you schedule lots and lots of behind closed doors demos and meetings. And then number three, you have absolutely no work to do based upon all those meetings, so you can just enjoy yourself.
Interesting.
Unfortunately, I did not set that up this way this year. I actually had several behind closed doors meetings and demos, but then I had to write about all of them and come up against deadlines and so forth. And it's an extremely difficult place to really get a good feel for a lot of stuff because of the noise and everything like that. But I mean, overall, it's still, you know, it's fun to go to, but when you're trying to work, it can be a really tough environment. But yeah, it's fun.
I like the way I covered it, which was just sitting back and watching everybody else do stuff over there while I was just reading their Twitters.
Yeah, that's also, there's a lot to be said for that, for sure. Now, hopefully next year you and I get to go together. And we can sort of tag team some stuff and really really take care of some business.
Look, Rich, I'm not going to lie. I was actually looking at prices for flights to PAX in September.
Yeah. Not going to PAX, unfortunately.
Well, look, I have this idea, Rich.
Let's
As East Coast people and East Coast sports gamers, I think we should just take over PAX East.
Well, we already started that campaign last year, so I'm totally down for doing that, in more force next year.
Yeah, I think that should be our official sports game people get together at a thing.
Yeah, I can see that. I can totally see that.
So did you, apparently you did lots of writings, I would assume, since you said you had many deadlines and busy stuff to do.
Yeah, podcasts, writings, no web-based stuff, all stuff for At Gamer Magazine. But when you write for a print magazine, you actually have to get stuff done faster than when you write for a web-based outlet. So, and there's like, you know, the interesting thing about writing for a magazine is you have a very specific layout, a very specific number of words, very specific, you know, captions you have to write and stuff. It's different. It's fun. But again, it's a lot of pressure to be able to report accurately and then write it in a very short time. I mean, not complaining. It's just, you know, like I said, if I had the media badge and all of the appointments and then could just talk about it for weeks afterwards, that's the way to do E3.
Yeah.
But, of course, you don't get paid that way either. So, you know.
True. Since you've been traveling a lot, have you been playing games on your Vita?
I have, of course.
Tell me about them.
Persona 4 Golden. You heard of this?
I've heard of this.
It is wild. I am not a JRPG person. I have played or dabbled in some of them, over the years. But so many people love Persona 4 Golden. I've never played a Persona game or anything, you know, and it was such a highly rated game on the Vita. I picked it up a while ago, a couple of months ago, and never got around to opening it up because PS Plus keeps giving me all these games. But I said, you know what? I'm flying so much last week. I went from Philly to Phoenix, Phoenix to LA, then LA to Phoenix, and Phoenix to Chicago, then Chicago to Philly, all in the span of 3 days last week. So I decided I was going to play some Persona 4 Golden. And I don't really understand these games. Not the beginning is fine, but like once you get into the dungeon battles, you know, the turn-based battles where you have to understand how to level up your persona and combine them with other things and manage your team and your party, like there's a whole science to this that I just completely don't understand. I really like the game, And I actually spent, what, 4 or 5 minutes Googling, you know, walkthroughs and help and tips and tricks for me. And I don't understand any of them. So I can see myself running into a pretty bad situation here. But it is a lot of fun. It's really, you know, it's totally crazy Japanese anime, high school, social, weird stuff. And if I can figure out how to fight these fights, I'm really looking forward to keeping on playing it. It's fun, but it's a little tough.
Is it a self-contained story, or do I have to have played the first three Personas?
It's totally self-contained.
I think I might have to try this out then.
I think, yeah, it's totally worth trying out.
When will this be on PS Plus for free?
That's a great question. It looks amazing. Like, so just even the opening introduction, the opening sequence just looks so good, but it is so weird in Japanese. Like, I'm on the plane and like certain things are going on the screen. I'm just like trying to, you know, cover over the Vita so people don't think I'm some weird, you know, I don't know, just some crazy weirdo, which I'm sure several people who were looking at that were thinking it, because it's really over the top. But, you know, whatever. I'm on a plane. I'll never see these people again. Do I really care? No.
It's also one of the highest rated games on the Vita.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I got it, because it's so many people I would see tweeting about it, you know, when it first came out. And, you know, friend of the show, Pete Dodd, loves it. Just tons and tons of people. You know, we've had this conversation before. I know it sounds like a broken record, but the games that are like super, super highly rated, even if they're not the kind of game I typically play, I like to experience just so I can take part in conversations or just be, you know, just know. The more you know about games overall, the better you are about talking about specific versions of them. So,
right.
But yeah, I'm in the middle of this really pitched battle, and like some of these battles will take a couple of hours. And,
Jesus.
You know, going through these like massive, massive places, and there's random battles, and then there's mini boss battles, and then there's boss battles, and you have to allocate your resources, and you have to, it's just really like, it's a whole level of complexity that I am just vastly unfamiliar with. And all of the, again, in the 4 to 5 minutes of Googling I've done, all of the sort of the walkthroughs and explanations sort of, you know, they seem to think that you have some basic level of knowledge of what they're talking about. Very much like picking up a Madden game. You know what I mean? Like a current sim sports game. If you are just completely unfamiliar with it, it could, you know, there's that basic level of understanding it sort of assumes you have. Same thing going on here. But I'm still going to keep, you know, still going to keep at it, because it's fun, it's cool, it's different, it's wild, you know, all of those things.
It's funny that you actually brought up Madden, because I was thinking today, I don't know where this came from, but I was just thinking, I think sports games should get like 2 review scores, like one for the person that buys it every year, and then one for the person that's never bought it before.
Well, that is one of the challenges of writing a sports game review, right? Is who are you talking to? You know, you could be raving about a game that somebody else could put in and just be completely flummoxed by and can't even get off, you know, can't even like execute the most basic play. And they're like, how is this a 9 or a 10? You know, and like NBA is another example, right? Like that game is amazing, continues to astound me. And yet some people I know will put it in and just can't do a thing. Kind of like Scott Binns.
Yeah.
I think he used to be on the show, right?
Sometimes.
I think he's talked about that.
Sometimes co-host Scott Binns. That reminds me, I need to get into that NBA league now that I have the game.
Yeah, if Corey Andrus would ever play his playoff game, I could go ahead and win the title, and then we can move forward.
Well, if he stops having kids one of these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I would, because, well, watch my trans, what's that thing called, when you do a thing into another thing? That's how good this one is. Yeah, because I was thinking...
A segue.
Someone was talking about NCAA football, and they said they gave it like a 6.5 or a 7 last year.
Okay.
And I was like, no, NCAA football was a really good game last year.
Yeah.
But it was a 6.5 and a 7 because it was kind of the same game from like the past 2 years.
Okay.
But on its own, it's probably like an 8.
Yeah, that's, you know, again, people don't like when I say this kind of stuff, but that is part of the major challenge of reviewing a sports game. is number one, it's annual. Number two, they're the types of people you will never please the hardcore fans, because they're going to ask you, well, does the 4-3 base alignment still allow for the Mike linebacker to sneak in, you know, off tackle and you know, abuse the center's lack of awareness?
I'm not going to lie. I actually know what you just said.
And, you know, and meanwhile, the casual fan is like, well, you know, do they have my favorite running back in the game? It's like, how do you write a review to two totally different groups of people? But, you know, you just do it. But, it, you know, it's tough. It's not tough, but it is certainly, it's a kind of wrinkle that a lot of other game reviews do not have to them.
Yeah. All right. So let's just start with EA's NCAA Football 14. Rich, we'll go through all these games, and then you can tell us all the great stuff you saw about them at E3 as we're going through it, I figure.
Okay.
Tradition Sports Online has the top 15 rated players in NCAA Football 14.
Okay.
Number one, the only 99 overall, and this is might be as bad as the NHL cover vote, Jay DeVion Clowney, defensive end number 7 from South Carolina.
Okay.
He's that guy that blew that other guy's helmet off.
Right.
In that gif.
Yep.
So he deserves to be a 99.
Sure.
99 power. 99 FMV.
Mm-hmm.
FMV. I don't know what that means. Full motion video.
Exactly. Yeah. You named it.
All right. Then the highest overall offensive player is 97 overall Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, it has to be Johnny Football. Sure.
QB number 2 for Texas A&M. I mean, pretty good stats. 97 ball. What is BCV? Ball coverage? Is he a defensive back?
I could not tell you.
90 throw power, 89 throw accuracy. That's pretty legit. He's going to be pretty good. I mean, if you're gonna play a franchise, dynasty, you should probably be them, because you're
could be
quarterback
fun.
Set for like 3 years.
Yep, absolutely.
Then we got DeAnthony Thomas, halfback number 6 of Oregon, is a 97 with 98 speed, 96 agility, 99 acceleration, 98 elusiveness.
He's good.
What is SPM? I don't even know what half this stuff means.
I don't either.
Oh, speed? Spin move?
Maybe.
Okay, that guy's legit. Rich Grisham's favorite player, 97 overall, AJ McCarron, QB
That's
number
right.
10, Alabama.
And my sleeper Heisman pick this year.
Look, here's my problem. I always want these kids that win like 40 games in college to win the Heisman, and they never do. It's very upsetting to me.
Well, I can tell you do seem rather upset.
Like, why doesn't Ken Dorsey have a Heisman? I don't understand. AJ McCarron deserves one.
Probably because there are enough lousy Miami quarterbacks that did win the Heisman.
True. I can buy that. Number 5 overall is 97 overall Marquise Lee, wide receiver for USC. I mean, pretty legit stats. What do we got here? 91 awareness. I don't know what any of these RTE. I assume that's like route running. 91.
Sounds like it. Yeah, probably.
91 agility, 93 speed. I mean, those are some good guys. I'm not going through this whole list. The other people on it are Braxton Miller, Teddy Bridgewater, who I just wanted to say his name. Taj Boyd. I don't know any of these guys. I don't follow college football.
I follow college football, but not at any individual player level. You know, I'm kind of just at a program school level.
If you would say there is a number one school you follow, do you think that school would be ranked number one in the game?
Yes. I don't follow them because of that.
Well, but, I believe that.
Yeah, anyone who knows me knows that I was born in Alabama. Both my parents are University of Alabama graduates. I am from before I knew anything, I knew two words, and they were Roll Tide.
And Alabama leads off the top 25 rankings this year in NCAA 14. And I assume that's going to be the real NCAA standing, I would hope.
Well, I mean, they base it off of, you know, as much as they can, you know, based upon on that. You know, obviously they have to be supremely careful about not representing the real players and the real likenesses and stuff, and they have to be even more careful nowadays, obviously. But you know, they know what they're doing. They get together and they try to bang out what the ratings are going to be. Now, you know, I don't think it's in the world of ratings physically possible for a team to be ranked 99, 99, 99, but I'm certainly happy as somebody who will be playing as that team, at least, you know, sometimes to have them at my at my disposal.
Let's see who else we got here. Ohio State. Are they still under sanctions? Can they not get into a bowl game next year?
I think they're good now.
All right. Stanford, Texas A&M is 4 with Johnny Manziel. Georgia's 5, Oregon 6, Notre Dame 7, South Carolina's 8, Clemson 9, Florida 10. I mean, those are some pretty
SEC heavy, but Clemson always scares me because they never can quite seem to put it all together. Notre Dame, I think, is ripe for a fall. And I'm not sold on Georgia, but you know, that's the beauty of college football. Until they ruin it next year with playoffs, you've still got a supremely important regular season. The last real regular season is this upcoming fall. So it's kind of bittersweet.
Didn't Notre Dame just lose their starting quarterback?
Yeah, but the quarterback from the Notre Dame supporters that I have spoken to, and there are quite a few of them that I work with, they did not seem too upset by the departure of their quarterback.
And in just mere hours, well, either before you listen to this or after you started listening to it, you can download the NCAA Football 14 demo.
And it looks to be a pretty good demo, too.
Yeah, a full game with 3-minute quarters using the coordinator cam.
Yeah.
And I have already misplaced my list of what games are there to be played. But I know Michigan.
Alabama, Virginia Tech is one.
Please, VPI.
What?
Virginia Polytechnica Institute.
Is that why Ellengood called him VPI in his doc article today? Okay, I thought that was either a misprint or him being a little snarky. Turns out it was neither.
I think it's a little snarky, but.
Oh, okay.
Apparently it's in their fight song, but nobody really calls him that. They always call him VTech.
Well, anyway, Alabama plays Virginia Tech, and you said Michigan State, Ohio State, or Michigan, Ohio State is one. What is the third? I forget.
Oregon and Texas. Someone. Texas A&M.
Is it A&M with Johnny Football?
I think it's A&M. I think Owen actually said.
Smart.
I think Owen said it was Texas Tech, but I think it's actually Texas A&M.
Okay. Plus, they've got the a little bit of the skills trainer mode in there, which should be good.
Yep.
Which I need in my Persona 4 Golden. Some skills training.
I just really want to see the coordinator cam, because from all the videos I've seen, that looks pretty good.
Yeah, well, Steve Noah from Operation Sports loves it.
Yeah.
And he seems to be a pretty good judge of these things. So I'm down with the coordinator cam if he is.
Let's see. Operation Sports also has a video of all the uniforms in NCAA football, and there's a lot. So
yeah.
We'll let you go up a link to that in the show notes below.
Nice.
But the uniforms look sick, so.
Mm-hmm.
What else yes, the skills trainer will be in there, and it's also Operation Sports. Operation Sports kind of pretty much has everything.
Well, this is the time of year, you know what I mean? E3, then right into the college football demo, then bing, bang, boom, Madden, FIFA, NHL, NBA. Like, you know, things are really heating up around the Operation Sports headquarters these days.
Yeah, so they have the video of the skills trainer over there for you to check out. But yeah, and that you can download the demo probably right now as you're listening to this.
That's true. I'm actually playing it as you listen to this. No matter when you're listening to it, I'm playing the demo right now.
True. Also, some good news that came out of E3. Madden for next gen will be fully featured.
Yeah, surprisingly under-communicated, under-publicized. Like, it wasn't even, it came out in an interview with Cam Weber. Like, when I was talking with the guys, you know, several of the guys, they were going over all sorts of different stuff, but nobody even mentioned it. And I, you know, in my infinite acute lack of journalism skills, didn't even ask the question either. So, you know, kind of blame me. Yeah, but speaking with the developers and the marketing guys, they were talking about a lot of stuff. But, it's great, especially considering the less than stellar track record with the last generation.
Yeah. What was the last time? They didn't even have franchise mode. They just had, like, season mode, right?
No franchise mode, no announcers. It was quite a mess.
Kind of embarrassing, but.
Yeah.
Also, there will be no more online passes. We already knew about that. And apparently EA did not push for DRM to the console manufacturers. Which is good, because nobody wants DRM, right?
Well, no. Lots of people want DRM. Just none of the people that are consumers want DRM.
True. And if you want to hear a whole discussion about DRM, you can go to FYFY.com.
Yes. Our fearless DRM leader, Pete Dodd, will tell you everything you want to know about that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I like that online passes are gone. I just wonder what the next thing that will not be called online passes will be.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, no matter what, all this stuff is so expensive and so prohibitive, I'm going to not buy a whole lot of stuff. It has nothing to do with purposefully, you know, being upset about the DRM or anything. Obviously, I want everything to be as consumer friendly as possible, but I'm already not buying most games. Like, yeah. I've bought maybe 4 games this year, other than, you know, the sports games that I had for review. I just bought The Last of Us over the weekend, and I bought that with a gift card, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think I'm going to do as well.
I bought BioShock Infinite when it came out. And then I PS Plus'd most of the stuff. I actually picked up Persona 4 Golden. I actually think I got that last year. You know, I just started playing it now. There's really not a whole lot that I buy new anymore, and the next generation is not going to change that. I mean, gaming is an expensive hobby, and you know, $60 to $70 a game, it's a lot of money. So.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's why the games that I do buy, I tend to buy the ones that get the super de-duper high reviews. Now, obviously, you know, for my son, I bought Minecraft. I'm going to give that to him for his birthday. You know, I bought a couple of Wii U games for him. But, yeah, still, I'm not buying a whole lot of games these days just because, number one, time, number two, money, and number three, I really get a lot more use out of my sports games now than I ever did before because of our great online leagues.
True. I am completely in agreement with you. I don't think – I can't even name the last, like, non-sports game that I bought.
Black Ops 2?
Probably Black Ops 2.
And how much have you gotten your money's worth out of that thing, or what?
I looked today. I think it only said like 280 hours or something.
Yeah.
I still haven't played the story mode.
Well, why would you?
I heard they have one in this game.
Yeah.
But I think I bought that last November.
You know, that was the other thing, that walking around the floor at E3, I am amazed at how little interest I have in so many games.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean this in a cynical or snarky way. I'm just the kind of gamer I am right now. Just so many of the games are not interesting to me for different reasons, right? Like, I'm not interested in shooter games, although I will play a game like The Last of Us, right? Because it is so highly reviewed. Or I will play a game like BioShock Infinite, you know. But for every one of those two games, there's 40 offshoots of it. The Vita stuff looked really fun, though, which is cool. But, yeah, there's just, man, I don't know. It's not like a bad attitude, but there's just so many games that I have just no interest in. I'm just, again, all in on sports, and occasionally those few games here or there that really catch my eye. But, man, there's just a lot of stuff out there that I have no desire to play, which is kind of weird. Right. I don't know if I like that or not, but.
All right, Rich, so on that subject,
yes,
as you said, not many games really excited you out there. What was your favorite non-sports game that you saw at E3?
Well, I liked a lot of the Nintendo Wii U stuff. I thought Mario Kart looked really fun. I also really liked the Super Mario 3D Land. You know, that new one, those both looked fun. I only spent a couple minutes playing them. Just because it's not a particularly great environment to play games. But those definitely got me excited. But that's more about me playing with my son than it is me specifically playing it. I did really enjoy the Vita had a bunch of great stuff out there. And I particularly enjoyed Tearaway. That looked really cool. But one game I actually played on the PS4 was Pinball Arcade, which I'm already a fan of that franchise, and they had some really nice tables out there, and actually one of the developers sort of sauntered over to me, and I ended up talking to him for a while. But I don't know if you have played any of the Pinball Arcade games. It is on PS Plus, which is how I discovered it.
Yeah, scoop that up.
And I have it on the Xbox, and I really wish I had it on PS3 because the Xbox version has been sort of abandoned forcefully.
Whose voice is that? Scott Binns, everybody.
Didn't you introduce me a few minutes ago?
Not at all, Scott. So, Scott, how's it going, buddy?
All right.
Yeah, so I picked up Pinball Arcade on PS Plus. You know, I really like those Zen Pinball ones just because they felt more gamey.
Yes.
But I like what Pinball Arcade's doing, bringing back the real tables.
Me too. I am fully in the pinball. Like, if I had to choose, and luckily I don't because I have both, but if I had to choose, I'm firmly in the Pinball Arcade camp right now.
Scott Binns, favorite game you saw at E3? Also, I should mention that me, Scott, and good buddy Zach Grimm did a E3 video show thing, wrap-up kind of thing. Scott host it because Scott's
well articulated.
Yeah. Scott hosted it, so he should describe it better, but...
Oh, well, it was just the three of us chatting about E3 for like an hour and a half, with occasionally getting off topic, but that happens.
Sometimes.
My favorite non-sports game of E3, I still have to say this generation, not next generation, because I don't see myself going next gen soon enough. World of Tanks for the 360.
I can see it.
It's just one of those games that looks, it feels more like going back to being a fun video game. You know, it's kind of violent, destructive, but not gory.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get behind that.
Yeah.
Did you know that they are accepting beta applicants right now?
I did. I've signed up.
All right, Scott.
I mean, I know World of Tanks is wildly popular on the PC, so it will be very interesting to see how that translates. Like, you know, Minecraft was wildly popular on the PC, and from everything I've heard, the Xbox 360 version of it is also very popular. But there have been other wildly popular PC games that have made the transition over that did not do well. So I'll definitely be interested to see. I can't see myself ever kind of getting into that, maybe dabbling just for fun. But a game like that kind of takes, you know, it sort of needs to be your main game, from what I understand, for a while to really get a lot of fun out of it. So it'll be interesting.
Huh. Yeah, that might be the killer for me, but it might be like the game of the summer too for me.
It could absolutely, yeah. No, I don't really know much about it other than it's, like I said, been a massive success for the Wargamer.net guys. In fact, one of the guys in our Triple D League, Mike Nelson, is at Wargamer.net.
I was just gonna say we should probably shoot him an email. Maybe that would help. Just saying, Scott. Think of that. My answer is The Division, since all you guys hate shooters. I guess I have to mention shooters. Tom Clancy's The Division by Ubisoft. Looks pretty sweet.
Oh, well, now that you do mention, I do have to give an honorable mention to the fact there will be a Star Wars Battlefront 3.
That is in, like,
really
9 years.
They mentioned that it exists. That's why I'm only give it honorable mention.
It showed a Snowwalker's foot. And I'm sure it has a real name that I can't think of off my...
Whatever they showed, I didn't even see it. I just know that the game exists and was announced at E3.
Well, look, see, what Tom Clancy's The Division is a massively multiplayer online third-person tactical shooter action role-playing game. That is literally everything a video game can possibly be without being a sport game.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited for that.
I'll tell you, the thing that struck me with the press conference is... and walking the show floor is just that this industry continues to be so heavily reliant on shooters, mm-hmm. And variants of shooters, and with zombies thrown in for, you know, a change of pace,
mm-hmm. Or aliens.
Or aliens, yeah.
Well, and even then, what are you doing at the zombies? You're shooting them.
Right. Yep. So if and when I'm ever running my own game development organization.
Grisham Games.
That name won't sell, I'll tell you right now. I will make it my own. I will make it a mantra that I will have my team create only fun games that do not somehow involve killing. We've got to do more than just kill stuff, people. We have to.
Well, that's
I know
thing.
I sound like a grumpy old man, but there are so many fun games that do not involve that. I'm just shocked that that more of those games don't come out.
Yeah, well, the industry is kind of cyclical like that, or not cyclical, but you know, it goes through phases. The mm-hmm. you know, 8-bit and 16-bit generation was kind of all about platformers, and
right.
then 16-bit and 32 was big into RPGs.
Yeah.
And then let's see, maybe like party games, four players on the same screen was the next big thing,
mm-hmm.
and that sort of then evolved into shooters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, shooters are wildly popular. They're the most popular. There's nothing wrong with that. I just know that there are people out there who would like to have more options for non-shooters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's all. That's, you know, it's a little, that's why I think too, I was so happy walking around the Nintendo booth, because there were so many just bright, colorful, fun games with the characters that I recognize. It just I just hope those games come out in time for the Wii U to remain relevant, or to get back to relevancy.
I hope so too.
All right, so let's get back to sports games, shall we?
Sure.
Though there's so much more stuff that we should probably be talking about E3, but we can pick that up at the end. Let's go through the Madden NFL 25 fact sheet for Xbox One and PlayStation 4.
Do it.
Though Scott's going to hate that we're going to cover lots of next-gen stuff.
Hey, I'm excited that it exists. It's just sad for me that I know it will be a while before I get to play it.
Maybe we can do this from the Xbox 360 version. Let's talk next-generation... Wow.
Well, really quick, that's a good thing, is that a lot of this, you know, feature set-wise, the games are going to be really similar, and the difference is going to be in what they can improve on next-gen, and not like what they're deciding to improve on next-gen. So that's exciting.
Look, Madden NFL 25 on the Xbox 360 is going to have one-tenth the detail that Madden NFL 25 on Xbox One and PS4 is going to have. And one-fourth the texture resolution. How does that make you feel?
You know, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, there's that, too.
Ten times the detail. Four times the texture resolution. It brings new life to stadiums, crowds, the field, and even the ball itself. Because the ball had no life, because it was a dead pig.
Here's the way I look at it. I go back to the show on PS2 from like 2008 to 2010. I think they did 2011, but I never played that one. The game was still really good. It was still, as far as just the baseball goes, and it was still just as good. It had all the features, like franchise mode was just as fully featured. You know, the only difference is really in the graphics and maybe some physics. And, you know, if that's what the difference between this gen and next gen is going to be right now, awesome.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think that's exactly what it's going to be. It is not going to be by feature, at least from the start. It is just going to be, this game looks better and plays smarter. And I'm totally down with that.
But I think even this gen, they've... Unlike last time, where it was more about the graphics, like as we talked about earlier with Madden not having franchise mode in 06 or whatever year mm-hmm. was the thing, I think this time they're focusing more on the actual game for the next gen than just the visuals.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they've been working on this roadmap for two or three years. Mm-hmm. You know, it's no mistake, it's no accident, it's no last-minute call that the two games are sharing the same feature set. Frankly, I think a lot of the core development of the game is probably built in one place and then parsed out into the different things and then, you know, tweaked. You know, but there's examples like when I was talking with Clint Oldenburg about the blocking, you know, he gave his demonstration that was on the Press Row podcast. You heard me ask him, is this on current gen and next gen? He's like, well, no, all this blocking stuff is just on next gen.
Yeah.
So I think, frankly, a lot of the cooler stuff, and I put that in air quotes that nobody can see, on the next gen stuff is going to be, you know, a lot more under the hood things that won't necessarily pop out at you. But after you probably play that for a season or two and then go back to playing what the 360 is, you'll be like, whoa, this is so much different.
Oh yeah, like don't go back and play a PS2 the show now. I actually tried doing that not too long ago, and it doesn't hold up because I've been playing next gen for so long. But at first, you know, it's not going to feel like I need to jump up right away.
Yeah, and the visuals, and granted, I was only looking at the pre-alpha version, so there's still a long way to go. But the visuals, while looking terrific, weren't. It's not like you're walking and go, oh my god, this looks amazing. Like, you know, I just started playing The Last of Us and on the PS3, and the visuals in that game popped to me more than the next gen Madden 25 did. But of course, again, next gen 25 is pre-alpha. Mm-hmm. They could be doing a lot of stuff. It looked great, don't get me wrong. It looked great, but I think it's one of those things where it's going to be subtle. It's going to be like, I'm going to play the game next gen, and then when I go back to the 360 version after playing it for a while, it might be a bit of a shock then. But it definitely, again, I think a lot of this stuff is going to be under the hood sort of things, which is, again, I think I'm that's a good thing. I'm not knocking it at all. That's a good thing.
That and the sharing and streaming and all that fun stuff.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's going to make everything a lot more interesting once we start doing that. Let's see what we got here. Every step is calculated. Ignite runtime physics calculate at twice the rate, allowing the most organic user-driven outcomes in franchise history.
Yeah, that's to amazing. Me, that's all under the hood stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing that I could be doing in the game to make that somehow better or worse, but the fact that it's happening is going to make my game smoother, better, and more realistic.
Well, yeah, combined with the precision modifier's vast combination of ball carrier moves, Rich.
Well, that
Madden has never felt this good.
That is something that I will be or will not be doing, which will result in me doing poorly or well. And that's one of the things that I have sort of in the back of my mind that, and this is for current gen too, because a lot of the, you know, the modifiers and stuff are current gen. I am definitely, if I want to be successful next year in our fourth string league, I'm going to have to figure some of this stuff out.
And I'm really excited for the brains and brawn section, where the all new player sense unlocks the human element in Madden NFL 25. And for the first time, players can scan the field, anticipate situations before they happen, and maneuver with instincts and awareness, because I am so tired of tripping over my own offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Hopefully this fixes that.
That's going to be an improvement for this gen too, right?
Yeah. Oh, I think all the running stuff is in this gen, right?
Okay. But, well, I worry because the running is kind of tied to the blocking.
True. But that's the war in the trenches with 300 all-new blocking interactions. Which, if you listen to Rich's Press Row podcast, the section with Clint Odenberg is literally ridiculous.
It is, isn't it? I mean, that is some in-depth, down-and-dirty details of the blocking. It's crazy.
And even without, like, seeing him demonstrating it in the game, you can visualize it because he explains it so well.
Oh, wow.
And you already feel like, oh, this is going to change everything.
Yeah, yep. I haven't listened to it yet, unfortunately. I just haven't had the time. So,
Rich, I'm not going to lie to you. Every time I see a Press Row podcast in my podcast feedy player thingy, I listen to it.
Well, I appreciate that.
As soon as humanly possible.
I should just, like, go for a walk and listen to it, like, tomorrow.
No, right now.
Go, Scott. Okay, bye.
Also, each stadium is a dynamic living world filled with energy, emotion, and action. Listen, I love press releases so much.
Yeah, this was really only on display in FIFA because in the Madden demo was in an empty stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So not really a whole lot of commentary on that. But, yeah, I'm expecting all of these things to come to fruition to some degree or another.
Yeah, I even heard S. Gibbs and Z. Farrells did a video for Madden 25 on Xbox, and they said even on Xbox the commentary was a lot better.
Yeah, well, this is the second year of the Nance Sims team, so I would definitely expect that.
And they showed off the interceptions in the back of the end zone. That was pretty sweet.
Talked about in depth, those guys, boy, do they know a little something about Madden or what? My goodness.
They know something about something.
I mean, man, even on, again, I had those guys give their impressions on Press Row, and they're just like going on and on, not on and on, but they're just like ripping out. Oh yeah, when you got the this coverage against that thing, and the guy runs the half fade into the quarter panel, they're just like ripping it off. Like, wow, these guys really know this game super well.
Yeah, I definitely don't like when they use real football terms, and then I have no idea what's going on. It's like, well, then you got the Sam coming in, and then it's like, I don't know who Sam is.
I know it's a linebacker. I just don't know which one.
There's like Sam, Mike, and another guy.
Will.
Will?
Yeah.
Why?
Because that's the weak side linebacker.
So Sam is strong side?
Yes.
Mike is middle?
Correct.
Amazing. Yeah, I can't find the link to the video, but I will make sure I throw it in the show notes. They did like a 25-minute breakdown of a game of Madden.
Yeah.
Pretty ridiculous.
I will say the video I saw of Next Gen Madden, it's really where it didn't look like anything special, but that's awesome. Because that means it's not... It means that it's going to keep up to par and not, you know...
Take a huge step back.
Yeah, not take a huge step back. And that's kind of the way I'm trying to put it.
Yeah, so we're starting this generation so far ahead of any other generation we've started that...
Yep.
Who knows what's going to happen in the next 5 years? Oculus Rift.
I can't wait for that. I finally started reading about it. I kept hearing about it, didn't know what it was. I finally started reading about it. Do you know they have Half-Life 2 now fully playable on Oculus Rift?
Jesus.
Oh my gosh. You know, Sign me up.
Never played a Half-Life game.
Really?
I own the Xbox.
Me either.
Okay.
Might have to change
now that. We do need to stop the show. You need to go get your copy of the Orange Box for the 360 and play Half-Life 2. It is one of the best games ever. And you're talking to a guy who doesn't like shooters. It's awesome. And it holds up. It is fantastic, even though it is a, I don't know, 8, 9, 10-year-old game. God, it is terrific.
I'll just wait for a Half-Life 3 to come out and then... Operation Sports also has all the uniforms revealed in a video for Madden. That's a lot of more things we don't even have to talk about.
Nope.
But I'm excited for the new jerseys, so that should be pretty sweet. FIFA 14 looks amazing.
Yes. This was, of the four games in the Ignite Lab, this was pre-alpha, full stadium, crowd chanting, 11 on 11. I was stunned at how far this game is at this point in time. Stunned. In a good way.
Were you disappointed that it doesn't have any cool catchphrases like Bounce Tech or MMAI?
That's an awesome thing is what that is.
It does have pro instincts and precision movement and elite technique. Pure Shot kind of might fall into that.
Yeah, Pure Shot is on both current and next gen, though.
Rich, tell me about it. Is it amazing?
Yeah, it really is.
What teams did you get to look at? Did they let you play it, or was it just a...
Yeah, I played it. It was Real Madrid and... No, it was Barcelona and Atletico.
Atletico Madrid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was ridiculous. And again, it's pre-alpha, which, you know, is an industry term for a game that really shouldn't even be allowed to be seen by people. And, you know, it was just shockingly in a shockingly strong state. And, you know, FIFA is popular because when you walk in the Ignite Lab, a couple people watching the UFC thing, a couple people bouncing balls in NBA. About 7 or 8 people playing Madden, and about 50 people hoarded around the FIFA display, like losing their minds.
I wish I could get into soccer more just so that I could be excited about this.
Well, I do too, because of all of the games, this is the best one. It's the best one on the current generation, and it looks out of the gate to be the best of the launch games for the next generation. Not that the other ones won't be good or anything, but I'm just like, right now, if it were a horse race, FIFA would be very far in the lead.
All right.
I'm excited.
Yeah, well, I'm down for day one, whether I'm reviewing it or not. There is no way I'm not going to have FIFA. Even though I'm not going to know how to play it.
A to pass. That's all you need to know.
Right, or yes.
No.
X to tackle, right?
X to pass now. What up, PS4? yeah, and the cover looks cool. Lionel Messi's on it, just kind of standing there.
Yeah, he's pretty good, I've heard.
Not a huge fan of the Barcelona jerseys having a sponsor. It's just my personal
opinion. All soccer jerseys have sponsors?
Yeah.
For a long time, Barcelona did not, and they donated their sponsorship to UNICEF. And then they were like, we can make a lot of money if we get our sponsor. So they did that. Go ahead, Scott. You were saying something.
Oh, I was going to say, you're going to get mad because their sponsor, they donate their sponsorship?
They used to.
Yeah, that's it. I stopped because you explained it more fully. I need to stop interrupting.
Speaking of interrupting, you know who's trying to interrupt FIFA's amazingness?
That plane going by your house?
Listen, Scott, don't be a jerk. Pro Evolution Soccer 2014. There's a E3 trailer out there, and I bet Rich Grisham got hands-on with it at E3, didn't he?
I did.
It's only current gen, right? It's not going next gen?
Correct.
Not yet?
It's only current gen, yep.
Was it amazing?
It was impressive, I will tell you that. I wish that I was more of a soccer aficionado to understand if I was, if I should have been more impressed, but it was definitely impressive. Things that stuck out were the player faces. The guys got kind of excited when they scored a goal. Now, of course, I couldn't score the goal, so the other guy took it from me and scored a goal and showed me how the guys react, and I kind of got a look at how they used to react and how they react now. And because I play FIFA on easy, I know how they react on FIFA, and I was definitely impressed with the player reactions. And then when one guy got a yellow card, he was like yelling at the ref, which is really cool too. So that was cool. That was really the thing that stuck out to me the most. Now, there was a whole lot of other stuff going on. Like, there was definitely some more physical interaction with the players, but as a guy who did not play Pro Evo last year on the 360, I didn't know. I mean, they told me that was new, but I couldn't, like, compare it to anything. But I'll tell you this, on the pitch, like, it ran smoothly. It looked great. The player emotions were cool. And they have this really cool thing, which I just learned about, called the Pez ID, where they take a lot of the most famous players and they really work hard to get their very specific mannerisms in the game. Mm-hmm. And that, talking with the cult people, they loved that. And they've actually went from 50 last year to a lot more. They won't say exactly how much more. So if you are a real soccer guy and you know Ronaldo or you know Drogba or you know the different guys and sort of their little mannerisms and things, you will see them that way in the game. So there's some really cool stuff that they're doing with Pro Evo, which makes me happy because I just love any competition between sports games. But it also makes me sad because now I'm going to probably have to get two soccer games this fall. Even though I won't have time to play either of them, I have to get both because they're evidently going to both be really good.
So if you had to pick one just from like pick up and play perspective, not thinking about all the licensing and everything that FIFA has, which one did you feel just like, I like this a little better?
Well, I'm more interested in Pro Evo just because I'm used to FIFA. Even though I haven't played a ton of FIFA, I'm no TJ Lowerman the last couple of years, I have played plenty of it on multiple platforms. And I have not played a Pro Evo game for a couple of years. So I'm just kind of interested. So if I had to pick right now, I would say Pro Evo. Not because I'm suggesting that it will be better than FIFA. Just more interesting to me.
I hear you. And speaking of that player ID thing that you were talking about in that, I was watching a interview with Scott O'Gallagher of the NBA Live team.
I know that guy.
And he was saying that they were building kind of the same thing into NBA Live 14, where they had about 50 different players, where they had set up their like six button moves.
Yeah, he showed me a little of that with Kyrie Irving, who was the one guy in the practice mode. And, you know, he kind of showed a few of the things that he's like, that's Kyrie's move. Only Kyrie does this. And he talked about it quite a bit. So that's their focus. Like, you know, Pro Evo is trying to distinguish itself or, you know, differentiate itself from FIFA with certain things like the PES ID and the the real player emotions. Well, where NBA is looking to definitely differentiate itself from NBA 2K is with very, very, very detailed specific player mannerisms of, you know, the top 40 or 50 players.
And they just let you like dribble around, right? It wasn't anything.
Well, I could shoot too, and I actually dunked. And a couple of people couldn't dunk, and I did. So I was very proud of myself. Now, granted, there was nobody guarding me, so yeah, I had a clear path to the basket.
It's weird. I keep seeing, like, I'll keep watching the trailer, and I feel like every time I watch the trailer, I get a little less impressed.
Well, there's, I'm, of the four games, that's not true. Of the four games, it had the third. Well, the four games, Madden, FIFA was by far the most advanced. Madden was the second most advanced. NBA was third on that list. UFC was least, but they're also not launching this fall.
Well, they say NBA Live isn't launching this fall.
I can't imagine they would call it NBA Live 14 at not launch this fall.
Right.
When would they launch it?
Oh, it says, we'll launch this fall.
Okay, well, there you go.
But yeah, but UFC is almost, what?
It's 2014. Yeah, exactly. So, and that, by the way, I'm not saying that what they presented wasn't impressive for UFC, but
I thought UFC looked a little better than NBA Live.
Yeah, I didn't even do the UFC thing. I had no appointments for it. I kind of looked at it, but I had a lot more work to be done with the other game. So, but you know, the people that I spoke to, you know, like Pasta Padre and Mike Suzek and Submit were all very impressed with what they saw. Steve Noah too, and one of the other the press tour guys who I talked to, Glenn Wigmore, super impressed. So the guys who are into UFC loved what they saw. Mm-hmm. And NBA is very interesting. You know, they made a very tactical decision to bring a very specific demo feature to E3. To prove, I guess, that NBA Live exists, and you can hear them, you know, two of the different NBA developers on Press Row, like they are all in. They are feeling very good about the state of the game. They can't wait for people to see it. You know, it will be coming out, and I in talking with the guys I talked to, they clearly know what they're doing. These are not dumb people. So I think it's just going to come down to, can the team execute? We'll see.
Scott, were you at all worried that they only showed such a small portion
of NBA Live?
Yeah.
I don't know. I got to think they really mean it this time, but I'm still not confident the game's going to be any good. The screenshot I saw did not look very good.
Yeah, once Pasta Padre broke it down, you're like, oh, yeah, this does look kind of bad.
Oh, he didn't even have to break. I mean, I think the first time I saw it was the link he had saying this isn't very good. But he didn't even have to explain. I just clicked on him like, ugh.
Like, Kyrie Irving looks really good in the trailer.
And he looked really good on the practice court, too. He really did. Mm. What small amount was there did look good.
Yeah, but then in the trailer, like, the rest of the guys just kind of fall apart when you look at them. Like, they're real, not blocky, but not well-defined.
Right. At the same time, it's E3. Things sometimes don't look good.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, this game, what's it? It's mid-June now. You figure it's got to be, what, launching in 4 months?
Right? They will be working on that game probably.
There will be a day one patch, and I bet that day one patch is not insignificant.
Well, there's a day one patch for every game now, but they will be working on, quote-unquote, finaling the game probably up until 3.5 weeks prior to the launch of the game.
Yeah,
I thought you were going to say after.
I mean, I think they're going to be probably working on it a lot after too.
Well, one of the pillars of the game is post release support. Mm-hmm. So yes, they will be. Will it just be rosters, or will it be, you know, making sure players don't stand at the center of the court with their arms extended? Who knows? That was cheap. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. Hey, it's honesty. That's
what
we strive for here.
I don't think I'm going out on a limb, though, when I say that we all want NBA Live 14 to be great. Yep. Like there's nobody that I've spoken to, even the most diehard NBA 2K fans, who don't absolutely want NBA Live to be fantastic. People want multiple experiences. They want to be able to play NBA 2K. They want to be able to play NBA Live. They want to play Madden. They want to play NFL 2K. Like people, sports fans really want more than they're getting. So
they understand that if there is competition, it's better for everybody.
Of course. Absolutely. You got it.
All right. So which of these two possible outcomes is worse? NBA Live 14 comes out and it's crap, or they cancel it? Given those two choices,
I think canceling it would be the worst option, actually.
Because, I think as a Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Scott.
Because if they get something out, even if it's not good, it's still, you know, even if it's not good, you can kind of hope that there maybe is a base to at least build from here. You know, like there's this can be good if they can get more time with it, and that's kind of how I felt about the Elite demo when I played it. Mm. It's like there could have been something good here, but. Yeah, maybe not.
If there's any time that you can get away with a less than stellar game, mm-hmm. it is at the launch of a new console.
Mm-hmm.
True.
So unless it is fundamentally broken, unpatchably broken, and as you know with the Xbox, you have to connect to the internet, so they're going to force at least one of those to get updated. It definitely needs to come out. It would be worse if it somehow got canceled again. I don't think it's going to get canceled again, though. I mean, again, talking to the guys, I don't think it's going to get canceled. I really don't. I think they're going to deliver a product, and I think it's actually going to wind up being something that is not an embarrassment.
Yeah.
I just wonder, since you said that this is their time that they can not put out as great a game, do you think it's going to be super in-depth? Like, is it going to have 30-year franchise mode, or is it going to be, like, play now, season mode, NBA Ultimate Team, and be a pro?
You know, it's a great question. I mean, unless it is something resembling a full-fledged game, it would be hard for them to charge full price for it.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get a fully featured FIFA and a fully featured Madden, and then you're going to get a stripped-down NBA and expect to pay the same price, so...
It could be all digital.
No, it won't be. It won't be.
Well, that was going to be the plan with NBA Live 13, so maybe.
Rumored. You like that?
I think
no. Didn't Major Nelson come out and say, "Yeah, NBA Live was going to be released today until they canceled it"?
Yeah, who knows? I think it'll be. While maybe not have all of the features of Madden, like the connected careers and, you know, as in depth as that is, or all of the features of FIFA with the online clubs and be a pro, I think it'll have what core gamers would expect to have in a licensed NBA game, which would be a franchise, a online franchise, a single player career mode. Ultimate team. I can't see it any other way.
I would love to see EA include a EA Sports Basketball League like they do in NHL, the hockey league, because I think basketball would be actually a much better sport to do it in.
Yeah, because that's how they do pro clubs in FIFA too. So.
Oh my god, I had so much fun playing team up mode in NBA 2K, where I'm playing co-op basketball. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. I mean, it's like you said, it's just like EA SHL. It is a completely different way to play the game that, in many ways, is more fun than any other way to play the game.
Oh yeah.
Like the EA SHL is spectacular. I just wish I had more time to play it, but it is such a delight. And NBA 2K's team up, I've played with several people several times, and it's great.
Yeah, I think basketball is really the best sport for it that really hasn't been explored that much. Yeah.
Well, because in basketball, you really have much more clearly defined roles and responsibilities, right? Like if I'm playing the point, I know that I'm going to be doing a lot of passing. And if I'm in the post, I know that when I get the ball, I'm either going to take it to the hoop or wait for a double team and kick it out. Whereas in hockey, if I'm a defenseman, I'm going to stay at the point and back a little bit. But if I'm a center, am I playing that much different than a forward, especially when things get crazy? No, I'm just heading to the net.
Yeah, and actually, you score enough points in in basketball that if you miss something, it's okay. But in NHL, if you're playing defense and you screw up,
that might
be the goal that costs you the game.
Good point. So.
Well, it's a lot easier to just man up on somebody in basketball, too, than it is in hockey.
Yeah. All right. Stop talking about that.
All right.
EA Sports UFC. Let's talk about some cool, funny word combination letter things. Like MMAI. The mixed martial artist's mind is an important... What? It's as important as it hard. Yeah, they're going to have a pretty sweet intelligence.
So better AI.
Yeah. Not just AI. MMAI. I will bet you any amount that is a commercial at some point.
So I want to preface this by saying I've actually been playing a lot of UFC 3 again lately. Sad to report the online servers are dead.
Well, it was...
It was a THQ game, but I thought they were kind of on life support like WWE 13 was. But no, they're gone. But... That being said, I've still found ways, you know, it's still a fun game on its own, just not as fun. But, you know, I read a lot of these new features, and it's one of those things where I go, oh, yeah, that could be a lot better.
Yeah, and I think they can have a lot more, they can do a lot more since it's only two people, like, fighting.
Oh, yeah. That's why Fight Night was such a graphical, like, powerhouse when the 360 first came out.
Yeah, you're not having to render 22 different people. Mm-hmm. In football. Full body deformation looked pretty sweet when they showed the guys like getting bruises and stuff. But, you know, NHL's got that, right? NHL 14 will have that, where you get a black eye in a fight and rocket.
Yeah, well, I saw that happen.
It'll be a black eye, but I thought the way I thought it worked out was like, if you kick a guy's leg and you pause it like at the moment where you're impacting his leg, you'll like... see his skin folding away, his skin pushing away at the point of impact and stuff like that.
But
you don't get that now.
But is that just the same thing like when you knock a guy out in Fight Night, where you get that slow motion in his leg?
Well, no, but now it'll be happening in real time.
All right. I'll buy it.
And the thing is that it was always limited to the face before.
Ah. Yes, I would like to see a messed up chest.
Yeah, maybe you like, kick a guy in the chest a bunch of times and he turns red. And they had that kind of stuff before, but it was all kind of superficial. It was almost more like the informal like damage meter.
Yeah. Look, everything looks great with EA Sports UFC. Is that really the name? Can we get a better name?
No, it probably just is EA UFC.
Hey, can I take a minute and just mention that I also do get hands-on with NHL 14?
Sure. Oh, because I never heard anything with NHL 14.
Well, NHL 14, because it's NHL and because it's not next gen, sort of kind of got drowned out. I was actually trying to get Sean Ramjack Singh on, you know, last week's press row, but every time I went to go get him, he was in the middle of demos with folks. But I did get to play a full game. And now... Well, first of all, it's fantastic. The hitting is so much better. When you ram into a guy, you really drive through him. It's not just a back of the box quote. I was laying dudes out and getting laid out, and it all seemed really well done. Now, one of the producer I was playing with did mention that they had ramped up the hitting settings a bit for the show floor. So.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm actually kind of glad about because it was pretty significant. But it just felt fantastic. The fighting was also really fun. I had a couple of great fights. And it's just like they've talked about how, you know, when you start fighting, you don't go into a different perspective. It all happens in real time. Other players will start jostling with each other. And the fighting was really good, and I got into a couple of good ones. And at one point, I missed a couple punches. He got me, but then I punched him real quick before he was able to recover, knocked his helmet off. We went back and forth, and then eventually, like, I got knocked out by the last punch, and then we both skated to the penalty box, and then one guy rose his hands, and the crowd went nuts, and then showed us both in the penalty boxes with our faces all messed up and stuff from the fight. It was superb. But my only concern is that the fighting is going to be so much fun. There's going to be a whole lot more fighting in the game, you know. But still, it was just – it was a ton of fun. The game played super smoothly. The everything about it was terrific. I'm super excited for NHL 14.
So Rich, answer me this. I was looking at it today, and at one point I put it in my trade-in pile. Should I go trade an NHL 13 right now while I can still get $18 for it?
Well, yeah, I think so, because we're and by the way, NHL 13 was my sports game of the year. I'm not saying anything negative about the game, right?
But you did snap your disc in half.
Well, I did, because I went
well, that was
I did not score a single goal in four games while getting demolished by the Canadiens.
Why'd you have to bring that up, Scott? I mean, just trying to hurt
you. I'm not proud. I'm not proud of it.
I'm
right?
sorry, Rich. I'm
no,
sorry.
No, it's okay.
That,
it's okay.
That was low.
You know, that's the first and only time that's ever happened. But because you know what? It's what, we're 2 weeks away from NCAA football.
Which I won't be getting in on, so
We're, you know, there's a whole bunch of interesting games. It's summertime, right?
Yeah.
The Stanley Cup finals are about to end, and we're really only a couple of months away from the onslaught of the next generation of sports games. You know, I mean, the you know, Madden 25 and all that stuff. So
maybe it's time to say, I'm not going to be playing NHL anymore. Bye-bye.
Yeah. I'm ready to trade in FIFA, too.
My only fear is, and this is from a financial standpoint for me, is that I'm not going to be able to afford NHL 14 when it comes out.
Right.
Well, here's what you do, Scott. When you trade in NHL 13, just say, you can put this towards my pre-order of NHL 14.
You can do that.
Well, see, right now, for that. Well, it's an extra $10. That's why I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
Because right now, I've got enough to cover Madden completely, and I think NHL would just be a little extra.
I mean, if I had to right now say that I was only getting two sports games this fall, number one, I would kill myself. But then once I got over that.
Once you got over being dead?
I would have a hard time picking anything over Madden 25 and NHL 14. Like, those are my two guarantees, because the four-string league for Madden and for what I'm sure the Triple Deke NHL 14 league will be.
Amazing is what it's going to be.
Because unlike this past year when we didn't get started until, what, January or something like that, we're probably going to crank it up within the first couple of weeks of the game's release.
Well, didn't hockey not get started up to like January this year?
Yeah, but the game still was out in the normal time.
I think we had a season done before real hockey started.
Maybe.
I believe
it. We were close anyway.
Yeah. Look, here's my biggest problem. When we do TSG Triple Deke, I'm going to have to extend my Xbox Live Gold. And that seems to be my biggest problem right now.
That'll carry over you to your X-Bone. Oh, you're not getting one. That's right.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the bigger problem is what's going on with EA Sports Season Ticket. Whole other story. Because that expires soon, I think, for me.
Mine'll expire just before Madden comes out. I assume I'll be able to play NCAA with it, but has that been confirmed at all?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think NCAA is the last game in it.
I would think, simply because you can still buy it today, that they have to continue it.
Mm.
Like, they would have to announce that they're going to stop selling it at some point, and then stop support a year after that.
Right.
And I'm going to fire up my Xbox right now and take a look, see if it says anything.
All right, you do that while we move along. EA Sports, UFC, looks really good. I just want to see how it controls, because I think in that kind of game, control is everything, right?
Yeah.
Guys, did you know that apparently they announced Kinect Sports Rivals?
I did not.
Nor did I.
Well, I think before they announced the Kinect, the new Xbox, they said there was going to be a new Kinect Sports.
Because I saw zero Kinect at E3.
Which is odd, considering it's going to be a part of the Xbox One.
And I saw no Move either.
Yeah.
Which actually doesn't surprise me at all, because I keep forgetting Move exists.
Yeah. Well, this Kinect Sports is going to have soccer, but looks like more full-body soccer. Wall climbing. I mean, if that's your kind of thing. And I'm sure there's some more stuff as I watch this video.
Yeah,
fencing? We'll have fencing. That's what I want to know.
I mean, do you want a fence with nothing in your hands?
That's a good point.
I'm always deliberating this in my I'm occasionally deliberating this in my mind, which is what I know is that every single gamer that I talk to hates motion controls and the Kinect camera and all that. Like, every single one. There's not one I know that likes it. Mm-hmm. Versus the fact that somehow Microsoft has sold a bazillion Kinects. So is the Kinect rivals sports thing going to be another big thing that I don't know anyone who does it but millions sell? Or is this whole thing completely come and gone and Microsoft throwing fool's money at something that will never be replicated like the original Wii Sports was?
Probably, but now that it's actually going to be in the next Xbox, I mean, it gives more reason to try to develop something good for it.
I mean, man, again, I don't know who the people are that are playing the Kinect games. I don't know any of them.
But I know it's not me. I know it's not you on your treadmill.
No.
The other games are wave racing, bowling, target shooting, and tennis. I'm not
bowling and tennis. It is Wii Sports.
I mean, that it's
target shooting. It's Duck Hunt, but you don't have a gun.
It's comical at this point. But again, you know, maybe these guys probably know something I don't, and enough people are interested in buying it that are not the kind of people I talk to. But I don't know. It just seems like this whole thing is come and gone.
All right, really quick. EA Sports Season Ticket is still there. Interestingly enough, now this is the part that gets me. I've got an expiration date on it, but I cannot find anywhere to renew it.
Interesting.
There you go.
So I might have to jump onto it on my friend's house and see if they have an option to buy it. Maybe it is dead.
No, man. So subscribe today.
I would think I would have the option to renew it now too, if that was true, right?
I don't know. Doubt it. Who knows with them? You know how EA Sports is with web things.
Yeah, but it also says nothing about NCAA 14 at all, which you'd think it would have. They would know that by now.
I mean, I don't think there's been a tweet from the EA Sports Season Ticket account in, 7 months, so.
Good point. I know. I'll look it up on the PS3.
Good thinking, Scott.
Where I am not. That being said, I probably have to download it. It would take a while. But we'll see. We'll see if I can get it done before we're done with the show.
True. Thinking of people looking up things, 2kgolflinks.com has been registered by 2K Sports.
Interesting.
Very interesting, especially in a year that Tiger Woods will be taking off. Do we think 2K can actually put out some sort of good golf game that we'd be looking forward to? Rich Grisham.
Yeah, I could see it. If they can either create a control that is accessible and or sign some golfers that people want to play as, or come up with some other interesting angle, I could totally see it.
Sorry. I would think that golf would be a big, social game type thing. I want there to be different social ways to play a golf game. The Tiger Woods Country Clubs are a good start, but I think could be done a lot better. I think Mario Golf, when it finally comes out, is going to have some stuff like that.
I mean, if you guys remember when the original Xbox launched, there were some very interesting golf games. A lot of people remember Lynx very fondly.
I've heard of it. I never got to play it.
Particularly for its real-time online tournaments, which were by far original and innovative.
Yeah, that's kind of what they were putting in this year to Tiger Woods.
And so I think there is, especially like you said, Scott, with a lack of Tiger next year, could be an opportunity to make a dent in that space. The more sports games that get announced, I'm just like, bring them on. Mm-hmm. I'll play them. I'll talk about them. I'll support their existence as much as possible, because that just makes the games that we love just better. More is better. So please, 2K, make some golf games. Make whatever you want. Make a baseball game. Keep on doing it. We'll trash it if it's crap, but I'd rather have it than not.
So who do they have to sign? Phil Mickelson will be the cover athlete?
Well, I mean, the easy one is Rory McIlroy, even though his star is faded a bit.
Yeah, but he's probably locked up with EA Sports. He was on the cover like 2 years ago.
Right, but I don't know. I mean, are these golfers signing exclusive licenses? Or, you know, who knows? You know, or maybe they go, like you said, maybe they go Phil Mickelson. I mean, there are some pros that are not in the Tiger Woods stable. I know, or maybe they just do something completely different and don't go with pros, but they go with either fantasy characters a la Hot Shots, or, you know, they make Charles Barkley's 2K Golf or something like that and go in a completely different direction with the players. Who knows, you know? Or maybe because it's going to be on an next-gen console, it's like you are the golfer, right? So you create yourself, and all of your friends are just the people in the environment. You know what I mean? Who knows? What you know, if I were them, I'd probably try to come with a more interesting, fun social angle, to Scott's point, than just try to be a different version of Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they might already be getting that kind of push from Microsoft, which has already announced PowerStar Golf for the Xbox One.
I was shocked when I'm walking around the Microsoft booth and I see that there. I'm like, wait, did anybody say anything about this? What is this thing?
Yeah, it kind of looks like the Microsoft version of Hot Shots.
Yeah, it's not kind of. It exactly looks like that.
Yeah.
In its presentation and its sort of cartooniness and its big shiny explosions when you hit the ball. And again, you know, I know I sound like a broken record, but great, bring it on. And oh, what, it looks like it's a digital release? Fantastic, even better. I love that. Let's have this out there. I mean, Hot Shots is a great game. Why, if you have the resources and the capacity to make a game like Hot Shots on a platform that does not have Hot Shots, do it. I'm hoping it's terrific.
Yeah, and it could end up being like free to play, buy extra characters and stuff.
Yeah, that part kind of makes me go, but you know, that's just because I'm still not a big time free to play guy. I have played several cheap and free to play games, but maybe it's because I'm old. But I prefer to sort of buy something and have enough content to have that be self contained. But you know, I can be convinced otherwise. No problem. Mm.
So Rich Grisham.
All right, quick update.
Sure.
On the season ticket, you can still buy it on the PS3, but I can't find any other info on it. But you can still buy it.
And it costs $500.
No, it's $25 like it's supposed to be.
I know, I'm just kidding.
But yeah, so you could buy it on the PS3 now, and then they could shut it down in a month, and you're just screwed.
Yeah, they wouldn't do that to you, right? EA Sports wouldn't screw you.
No, never.
So, did you guys know there's this thing called Twitter?
I've heard of it.
Yeah. At Carl J. Ward on Twitter asks, we all know Rich Grisham will roll Tide, but who will TJ and Scott use first in the NCAA 14 demo? Scott, who doesn't know whose teams are playing, the options are Alabama and Rich Grisham. I've already forgotten.
Virginia Tech or Virginia Polytech Institute, as you call them.
Yeah. Oregon and Texas A&M and Michigan and Ohio State.
And those are three games you can play, or six teams you can play as?
Those are the three games you can play.
Okay, I would probably start with Michigan and Ohio State, probably playing as Michigan.
Rich Grisham? Is there an option? Is there any question here?
No, I mean, you know, when your favorite team also happens to be the best team in the country, you're going to start off right there.
Right, but they're not rocking the option.
That's okay. There's plenty of time for me to learn how to do that, too.
All right. Yeah, I'm probably going to go with the Alabama, the gentleman from Alabama as well.
And by the way, a shout-out to Carl Ward, who is single-handedly keeping me in the fourth-string league by completely running my entire offseason. You are a golden god, sir, and I'm not joking.
Ah, you know,
he's amazing.
You know, I added stuff to the rundown that I didn't even realize. So, NCAA 14 seasons mode was introduced today.
Good.
It just strips out all the crap.
Which I think is great, because I'm going to be in two or three dynasties, but it'll be fun to just over the course of a week or so just bang through a season playing as somebody I wouldn't normally play without having to deal with any recruiting and stuff. Like, I like the recruiting and I'm down with that, but I also, especially for me, who sometimes just wants to play the games, love this.
Mm. And it's better. It's apparently it's even better than just putting all the stuff to CPU. So it should actually, the progression of week to week should go a lot faster.
Right. It literally doesn't exist. You're just playing a season. Once the season over, it's like, good job. Start another season with somebody else.
Yep. Garnet Lee mode, as we like to call it.
Right. I was going to say that. He has complained vociferously about that for years.
Yeah, he must be. I hope he's excited.
I hope he mentions it.
It's funny that it says all the bells and whistles when they've pulled out all the bells and whistles.
I don't see how this mode ever disappeared from games, to be honest
with
you.
Yeah, it's a good point. Very good point, yeah. Scott.
You can continue the point, or we can just keep talking.
No, I'm just saying, I'm amazed it disappeared. Yeah. I can't find anything on the season ticket. Like, even the forums that on EA are kind of dead, apparently.
I just want my 3-day early thing, because I have off all those days.
Yeah.
I play a lot of NCAA.
I don't want to have to rent it, although I do have a gift card that my girlfriend's mom gave me for Christmas that I haven't used yet, so maybe, although I was thinking about using it to rent, like, Gran Turismo or Forza or something, because I'm getting an itch to play one of those games. But
maybe you could trade in NHL and use that gift card and then buy NCAA.
What? I'm not buying two football games.
Can't you just, like, steal some of your girlfriend's jewelry and go sell it at a We Buy Gold place, and then you'll be all taken care of?
Yeah, man, just do that. That sounds good.
There are so many problems with that, I don't know where
it is. Throw that Wii U out the window.
I don't have a Wii U.
Throw that 3DS out the window. Throw this 3DS over to me, and then figure out another way to get money.
I knew you were going
to
say
I just don't want to have to buy a 3DS just to play Pokemon. But I will do that anyway.
Yes, you
plenty
will.
Of other things to play on it.
Yeah, like Netflix. Which you can sign up for at thatsportsgamer.com/Netflix. Look at that plug. All right, so speaking of plugs, Rich Grisham.
Yeah.
Where can people find you and all the great things you do on the internet?
Well, first and foremost, the Press Row podcast through Operation Sports, the good people there making that happen on a regular basis. The regular show is every 2 weeks, but as you know, we also like to do interviews with developers and go to E3 and talk to people and learn how to use contraptions to record those conversations in remote places, which all somehow magically came together beautifully. So, yeah, Press Row podcast. Whenever there's a sports game, I typically review it for Games Radar, and I've also been doing quite a nice amount of work for At Gamer Magazine, which you can find at your local Best Buy. So if you're ever there, pick one up, and as Adam Carolla says, help keep the pirate ship afloat.
And you are on Twitter as well.
I am at Rich Grisham, where I tweet regularly about all things sports and my son making Sound Shapes levels.
Yeah. Scott Binns?
At Darth Obvious on Twitter. That's about all I got.
I'm also on Twitter, at That Sports Gamer. I'm actually pretty much everywhere, / That Sports Gamer.
Yeah. If there is a social network, That Sports Gamer is on it.
Playfire? I don't know what that is. I'm on there. That's some Sony Raptor thing. It's like the Sony clone of Raptor. You can add me over there. Facebook.com/ThatSportsGamer. You can send emails to feedback@ThatSportsGamer.com. Leave a comment below. You can go watch me, Scott, and Zach Grimm talk about our quick reactions to E3 on a video on YouTube.com/. Anybody? Anybody?
That Sports Gamer.
Yeah. Oh my god, twitch.tv/ThatSportsGamer, probably starting, I guess, tomorrow night. I'll just start streaming NCAA for hours. Damn it, somebody just asked me to play Black Ops tomorrow. Perhaps you would be wondering why I would play Black Ops instead of NCAA.
When did Don not show up?
You know, I don't know any lines from The Incredible Mr. Limpet, and that really disappoints me. And with that, for Rich and Scott, I'm TJ, and we, as in me and probably Rich, because I'll talk him into it, we'll see you again next week, because Scott won't be around again.
Yeah, I gotta go to a wedding.
All right, Scott and Rich. Thanks.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun.
Later.
Later.